Awesome. That's a great video introduction for what I want to talk about today. And good morning. Welcome to Crossline Church. My name is Greg Monk. I'm one of the lead pastors here. I'm so grateful that you're here. And I am just, it's been an emotional weekend for me. And as we recognized and we remembered yesterday, 9/11, the 20-year anniversary of when the Twin Towers were attacked and the Pentagon and Flight 93. We remember that. And yesterday I watched some football, and the whole afternoon I watched specials on 9/11 and what took place. And, most years I don't like to step into that. I don't want to remember that pain. But I did yesterday, and I just was just overwhelmed with so many emotions, pain and anger and just hope of humanity and seeing people come together under a purpose and a cause and love each other and through the pain and the suffering. And so I just want to acknowledge anyone that has been impacted by 9/11, anyone that knows somebody that was impacted, anyone that was that was a first responder that just bravely ran into the situation when people are running away from it. And just incredible, the sacrifice that people made. And then the soldiers that went to fight for us over and attack those who attacked us, and all that's gone on, and the emotion being a veteran. It's hard. And I just want those that served our country, those first responders, that we love you and we pray for you, and we are part of the greatest nation on the planet. Yes. Regardless of all the rhetoric, United States is in an amazing country, and God has blessed it. And people come still from all over the world to get in to our amazing country, this place of freedom. And it's worth fighting for. And that brings us to us here in California. We are all blessed and as citizens that have opportunity to vote. And this Tuesday, we have a recall election that's going on. And I just want to remind you that it's coming up. Whatever side that you're on, I don't care. I just want you to vote. That's my call to you. I want you to vote. And that's our obligation as citizens. And so just want to remind you to vote this Tuesday, September 14th. And now I want to step into what God has put on my heart. God's put a message on my heart for you called Activated for Action, having the Holy Spirit reign in our lives. And I just want to pray. I want to pray for the service, and I want to pray for our country. Lord, I thank you so much for today. Lord, I thank you for your promise that we have here for hope. Lord, because this is what it's all about. This is the meaning of life. This is reality, Lord God, a relationship with you. Lord, not all the stuff that is outside. Lord, this is where the rubber meets the road, a relationship with you, God. And Lord, I pray that you would use us, Lord God, that you would use me. Lord, today in this message, Lord, the words that you put on my heart, Lord God, help me to communicate, Lord God, your message. Lord, I pray that each and every person here and that can hear my voice on the patio, here in this room, Lord God, and online, Lord God, that you would activate us, Lord God, that we would understand who we are in Christ and not just take ourselves out of the game, but Lord God, we would realize we are in it and God has called us, and we can have your Holy Spirit activated in us, Lord God. Would you use us for your purposes? Lord, I thank you for this time, and I thank you for all that you're doing here at Crossline. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray, and we all said, amen. Amen. Well, we are in session 2 of Outpouring, and I really encourage you to step into a community group if you haven't already. And today we're talking about how the power of the Holy Spirit causes us to be activated for action. And it's so funny. Whenever there's an action message in a series, they always give it to me. I guess I'm the action Jackson, you know, action Jackson of the activation part. And I guess because I tend to go at things full force and forward. But and the power of the Holy Spirit. And there's a great quote that I wanna share with you. It's from Dale Moody, and it says this: "The world has yet to see what God can do with and for and through and in and by the man who is fully and wholly consecrated to him. I will try my utmost to be that man." And that is my prayer. And could you imagine for a second if the men and women of Crossline Church were activated and fully surrendered and fully leaning on the Holy Spirit for every action they did, what would happen to this community? What would happen to the state and then this country of being activated fully in the Holy Spirit? And that's what I want to talk about today is what happens when we are fully active, when we lean on the Holy Spirit, when we pray to God to bless us with the Holy Spirit and to fill us. And I want us to walk out here with an understanding of what that is so we can see the power of God work in and through you. If you're not activated, as JP would say in juxtaposition, you're inactive or you're stagnant. When we are activated, we live out our purposes in Christ and our purpose in Christ. And God stretches us to accomplish things that we never thought possible. And it reminds me of when I was a freshman in high school. I had never played football before, but I wanted to play tackle football. So I signed up and I went and went to summer camp and did the bear crawl, 100-yard bear crawls and all that, and was training. And I didn't know anything about football, but I was aggressive. And so back then we had an A team and we had a B team. And I was on the B team. And I was on the B team and I wasn't even a starter on the B team because I was learning the game. And I remember being on the sideline at the game just in anticipation. I did all the work, I was ready to go, I was on the team, and I just wanted to be activated. I just wanted to be called on so I could go do something on the field. And I remember there, and there's the second game of the season or playing Edison or something like that, and I was at Fountain Valley High School, that's where I went to school. And I remember sitting on the sideline and like pacing it with anticipation, and then finally I hear the coach say, "Monk, you're in." And I run on the field with an excitement, and I'm like, I get out of my mind excited sometimes. And so I don't even know what's going on. We get in the huddle, we're holding hands, and then they call the play, and then we get to the line, and I don't even remember what the play they just called is. And this is something that would happen in my football career often. And I would go to the guy, "Hey, what's the call? What's the call?" And so I was on defense, and I was get down in three-point stance, and they wanted me to play offensive line as well, but I moved too much. I couldn't sit still. And so you can't play offense. I don't want to go into detail about that. It's another message. You can't play offense if you can't sit still. And so I would be on the defense, and I was moving, and my hands down, and my feet are going like a stallion, just like waiting for the gun to go off or didn't say hi. And I played out of my mind. And I didn't do very good, but I was ready to go. But gradually I started to learn. I started to learn the game, and my sophomore year I didn't start. And then my junior year I got bigger and I started to understand the game. And I started as a junior and as a senior and played in the CIF football championships at Anaheim Stadium. It's a great memory for me. Played in Orange Coast College. I played there for a season before I went into Marine Corps. And so, all that to say, as I think about that life, I want to have that emotion and passion and desire to serve in the kingdom of God like I did when I was on that team, on that football team, whatever team it is. The Christian life is not just about the input of God's word with little output, or all about output with little input of God's word. It's a balance. As Christians, we are all on the A team, not even on the B team. We're all on the A team. And nobody is riding the pine. Nobody is on the sideline. We are all starters on God's team. And God gives us his Holy Spirit and gives us his power to do amazing things and make incredible plays for the kingdom of God. If you're on Team Jesus, and you are, for those who said yes to him, you're a starter. And the Holy Spirit makes you the strongest player on the field. And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about how when we and the Holy Spirit enters our lives, it changes and moves us. JP set up this series in Acts chapter 2 last week and about being empowered by the Holy Spirit. And he gave us a picture of what happened in Pentecost. And so Here we are, it's just think of you, we're all disciples of God and we're walking with Jesus and it's Palm Sunday and we see Jesus on a donkey and we're putting palm leaves and we're celebrating Jesus coming and the King Jesus. And then we see him crucified and then he's put to death and then we see him resurrected. And then we see him resurrected and he walks amongst us. And then we are there at Pentecost. We see him ascended into heaven. And we're witnessing, and I gotta imagine as followers who walk with Jesus and watch this happen about the sadness of seeing their Jesus ascending, the miracle of all those things that I just mentioned happening, but yet Jesus ascending. But Jesus promised them that they would receive the Holy Spirit. And then here in chapter 2, we see that manifestation of the Holy Spirit coming upon God's people. And what happened at that time in Acts chapter 2, it says it was like tongues of fire were on their heads. And the Galatians were speaking in their natural language, but other nations that spoke different languages could understand in their own language what was being said. There was a miracle happening. And people didn't understand it. And they're trying to give an explanation of what takes place. And maybe they're drunk. That's what they were trying to explain, this thing that was going on. And so I want to pick up the story in Acts 2, 12 through 14. And here it is. And it's a small part of the scripture. And you can read over it and kind of miss it. But it's so profound. And that's what I want to, the meat of what I want to talk about today. And here it is. Acts 2, 12 through 14. It says this. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." So they witness these people speaking and they're understanding each other in different languages. And that was their excuse to try to explain it. But then in verse 14, and what I want to talk about today, then Peter stood up with the 11. He raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say." And that context there is powerful. Guys, this is Peter. This is the man who just earlier denied Jesus 3 times. He denied him. He walked with Jesus. Jesus was crucified and he denied him 3 times. And now Peter, witnessing all that has taken place, now in the power of the Holy Spirit, he has the boldness to stand up and raise his voice. Peter went on to preach a powerful message boldly. This time, Peter, filled with the Spirit, he didn't bench himself. He didn't take himself out of the game. He knew Jesus. He walked with Jesus. He believed in Jesus. But before the crucifixion, he denied Jesus. And now, seeing the miracles that Jesus did before him and ascending and the Holy Spirit upon him, Peter stepped up and he raised his voice to address the crowd. He said that, "We're not drunk. It's only 9 a.m. I love the detail and the explanation of it. Then he boldly shared from the book of Joel and Psalms and told them how they could be saved, and people came to salvation. You see, you guys, Peter was filled with the Spirit and activated. When we are filled with the Spirit, we are activated to step into divine appointments and opportunities to serve Christ. When we pray for divine appointments, like the one Peter had, God opens up opportunities for us. And that's what I want us to do. I want us to pray for opportunities to share the gospel, to infiltrate people's lives and to come alongside them and help them in a time of need. And there's 3 situations when the Holy Spirit is activated in us that I want to talk about, where we can do the unexpected. Here's 3 situations that when the Holy Spirit is activated in us, we can do the unexpected. The first one is this. When we are in a situation where we don't know what to say. Have you ever been in a situation where you're talking to somebody about a faith matter maybe, and you just said, "Oh, I wish JP was here," or "I wish such and such was here," or "I wish such," and you pray that somebody else would be there, and you're not, because you're not sure what to say. In those moments, activated with the Holy Spirit, we are given the right words to say. God has called you for that moment in time, not somebody else. And we need to step into that. Luke 12, 11 through 12 says this. It says, "When we are brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say." And I got to tell you, I have personal experience in this area. I was asked to speak at a middle school, an elementary school, because they wanted a Desert Storm veteran to come speak to them. And so I came to speak, and as I got there, there was a superintendent of the district was there, and the teachers and the principal, and they found out that I was a pastor. And they said, I don't know what you were gonna talk about today, but you know, you can't, you know, I want you to be sharing the gospel or anything religious. And I'm like, okay. And in my mind, I'm like, the whole thing I'm gonna talk about is my testimony. That's all I'm gonna talk about, is how God's changed my life. And in my testimony, the word of God is and so I was like, had this panic moment, like, oh Lord, what do I do? What do I, it's like, I don't know what else to talk about. I can't tell the story without that. And so I just decided I'm gonna tell the story. And so I give my testimony, and I tell, yes. So I just decided to tell the story, and there's enough in there about my testimony that is not the Christian part of it, but I can't deny who I was and what happened. So I shared with them how I was lost and how someone shared the gospel of Jesus Christ found in I quoted John 3:16. I said, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And I said, I was transformed, and I said yes to God. And I went to the Gulf War, and I came back, and I was saved, and you can have that salvation. The meaning of life is a relationship with God. And I talked about a whole bunch of other stuff too, and my experience in the Gulf War and all that. And so afterwards, I'm done. And the superintendent and the principal, they want to talk to me. And so I go up, and I'm like, oh gosh, here it comes. You know, I'm gonna get kicked out of here. Because there was another session of kids I was supposed to talk to. And so they come up, and they go, hey, Mr. Monk, great message, a great story, wow. And they said, can you just do me a favor? Can you not talk about the fart story that you started with in the thing? And I go, okay, yeah, sure. Okay. So, I don't want to tell the fart story at church, man. I'm gonna get an email like, why are you telling that story about church? Really, I gotta just, okay. That's so embarrassing. Okay, I wasn't even gonna tell this, okay, because I'm just gonna share really quick. Okay. So I worked at a company called QLogic. I had an office. I handled Asia Pacific sales. I managed about $175 million in sales. There was this girl, Asa Fugimoto, sweet Japanese girl that a partner with one of our companies that worked for the partner company but had an office in ours. And she would come in very, very graciously and very quietly and be like, Greg, I have this for you. Would you please sign? You know, very nice. And that. And so one time my computer always, it was facing the corner. I wasn't facing the door. So I'm sitting there one day and I had lunch. It was a big lunch. And I'm in my office. It's my office. And I something came out of me. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm like, oh gosh, like, and I turn around, and Asa is standing there. And it was one of those moments where I'm like, oh my gosh, like, okay, I stand up, like, okay, good. Let's go, here, like, let's go out the door, I'll sign it out here. It was embarrassing. Anyway, that was the story. If you're just tuning in, I apologize. I'm a Christian, I love God. I'm not just talking about flatulations. But activated with the Holy Spirit, we are given the right words to say. Sometimes we just need to be bold, like Peter, and we just need to share it, and maybe something will happen, and the Holy Spirit blinded them of what I was saying, and they were more concerned about the fart story than the gospel. But praise the Lord. I got more for you. Two, secondly, and this is a more real one. When we are in a situation where someone is sick and in need, activated with the Holy Spirit, we can heal in the name of Jesus. We don't do the healing. God, Jesus, does the healing. We are worthy of nothing. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Master of the universe. He is in control of all things. And through him and through his name, healing happens. And I want to just set the picture. Acts 3:1-10 talks about this. And I want to, the beginning part sets it up, and I want, and then the last part of it steps really hard into this, and it's great. It says this, Acts 3, 1 through 10. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 PM. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful. There was a gate, and it was called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us, look at me." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Praise God for that verse. And, you know, as a pastor, I'm called to pray. And I prayed over 30 plus years now being a pastor. I prayed for multiple people and in situations that are dire. And sometimes the people are healed and they stay here on earth. And other times they're called home to heaven. And here's the answer I have on the difference. Is I don't have an answer, but I know this truth, that God is God and I'm not. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And any other answer I could try to provide will come up short and it won't satisfy you. God is God and I'm not. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. But I've seen God move in such powerful ways, and it reminds me of a story when I just had become a Christian. I went to the Gulf War, I came back. Kimberly had a youth pastor, Tom Bowman, who was gonna marry us. And Tom got sick, really sick. And he went from 215 pounds to 98 pounds. We went and he lived in Blythe. He was a pastor in Blythe. And we went and visited him there in Blythe. And he had bruises and black and blue over his body. They weren't sure what the cause of it was. They thought it was a viral cancer transmitted by, he got it from livestock somehow or all this stuff. But then the New York Cancer Society finally said to him, finally confirmed that, oh, he indeed had cancer. And so we went and prayed for Tom. And I remember I had my Desert Storm hat and I gave it to Tom and we prayed for him and we prayed. I remember just in tears leaving there and seeing death on the battlefield, just coming from home and not having much hope in that time. And then we get a phone call from his wife, Kimberly did, and oh my gosh, they retested him at the New York Cancer Society and it's come up clean. He is in remission and he gained his weight back, and then Tom was healed and he lived. And it was incredible. And that was the first time that I'm a young Christian and I see, and I was in disbelief because it was those situations that he was healed and I was thankful. And I know there's people here and there's people that are listening to me that pray for those situations and it didn't happen. I have prayed for those situations and that wasn't the result. It was the other result. And it breaks my heart. It's one of the hardest things to deal with as a pastor. It's one of the hardest things to emotionally, because you want, the word of God is real and active and you want it to be true in everyone's heart. But God is God and I'm not. He gives, he takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord. And I have opportunities to pray for people at Crossline, and some get called to heaven and some don't. I prayed for Dave Clark right here. We had an elder moment one time. Yeah, it was amazing. We had an elder moment one time. He came up here and we prayed, and I knew Dave's story, and he came up and I just started to cry because I am unworthy. There's nothing that I have to give to Dave. There's nothing I can say to give, but what I do have is the word of God. I have Jesus Christ in my heart and I could just pray for him and ask God to bless him and fill him. And we had a moment, didn't we, Dave? It was powerful. It was the Holy Spirit moment where God intervened. And it was powerful. And it was like in a vacuum and God moved, and I didn't know what was gonna happen. Now, you had stage 4 cancer, Dave? And now Dave is in remission, he's healed. Now, so So praise God. You know what? I need that word. I need that word because there's often many here that are hurting, that have lost loved ones. And I pray for you and I love you. And my heart goes out to you. And when we get to heaven, we can talk to God about that and have a conversation on the answers that when we didn't get the answer we wanted. So activate the Holy Spirit, we can heal in the name of Jesus. And thirdly, when we're in a situation, speaking to people in authority in our culture, activate with the Holy Spirit, we can speak the word of God boldly. And here's what it says in Acts 4, 5 through 12. It sets us up great. The next day, the rulers and the elders and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Ananias, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, that story I just told you about, the same context, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, and this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone, the meaning of life, salvation for everyone. And salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind but by which we must be saved. No other name. And that's the answer for you. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you don't have a personal relationship, that verse is for you. And salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind but which we must be saved. It's all because of him. And this reminds me of a story, and I actually switched the stories. This was supposed to be the story about what happened at school, but this one fits as well here. I was in Haiti with the team, the men. We go to Haiti a few years ago. We go to the artist colony, and the artist colony in Haiti is a place where there's these Haitian artists that pound metal, and they pound metal and they make these beautiful artworks. You've seen them if you've been around Cross Island. We have them around different places. And so we're there, we're visiting, and then Rick and I walk into this one shop, and there's these voodoo things all over the place. And so we're sitting there looking at them, oh, check that out. And all of a sudden, this huge man comes out, and he looks like he plays linebacker for the San Diego Chargers or something, like 6'4", 6'5", and like just yoked and big. He's like, hey, how you doing? You know, and come talk to me. And then so Rick and I have this conversation, and Rick's like, hey, what's all this about? And he's like, well, I'm a voodoo priest. I'm a voodoo priest. And so he said that, and as soon as he said that, I was like, oh man, let me go to the next shop, you know? And that, but, you know, you know how God connects people? You can be from a different culture, a different country, different race, but you meet somebody and then there's like this connection that happens. And my conversation, his name was Duty. There was a connection that took place. And if it wasn't for Rick witnessing what just took place in this time, it was just incredible. I started sharing with Duty my story, how God had changed my life and my hatred for my father and how God reconciled my relationship with my father through Jesus and how we got saved. And as we were talking the story, you know, tears started coming down Duty's face. And as we got towards the end of the message, it's interesting. Rick talks about this, and it felt like we were in that vacuum where there's all this pounding going on. All of a sudden, you couldn't hear it. And the hair standing on my heads, and there's this holy supernatural kind of relationship happening that's beyond us, and God is speaking through me and sharing. And then Duty at one time said, I know Jesus, you know, and Jesus is powerful and strong, and you know, and then I said, yeah, but what about all this other stuff, this voodoo? I go, this is from man, and Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the power of all. All power comes through him. All this stuff is crap. And I said it, and I was like, oh, I don't want to get in a fight with this guy. But that didn't happen, and Duty's crying, and I'm crying, Rick's crying, and then they're honking the horn. We have to go, we have to leave, and we're late. And this moment happened with Duty, and then I'm getting ready, we're getting ready to leave. I'm like, Duty, Jesus is calling. I'm like, you need, say yes to God. And just in sincere tears and stuff, he's like, I'm not ready, Greg. I have to give up so much for me to say yes. And then his cousin Ease was there. Ease received Christ, and Duty didn't receive Christ that day. But all that to say is, facing a situation where I would rather be like, okay, I'm out of here, God and his Holy Spirit stepped into my heart and in Rick's heart, and we share the gospel with the voodoo priest. And so I have relationships, yes. So we have these appointments that come up, and I still talk to Duty, and I still message him on Facebook, and we have a relationship. And whenever I go there, I try to see him. And he hasn't received Christ yet, but I'm still praying. And I'm still praying, but that was a moment that I stepped into. And God has moments for you. What divine appointments does God have planned for you? I remember the ones I stepped into and the ones that I did not step into. You know, I can tell you the stories of the times that I stepped into it to make me sound spiritual, but I'm not. I'm just a man like you. I'm just a human being like you. And I have faults, but as through Jesus working through me, that I'm adopted into his kingdom. And I remember a story of one time that I didn't listen to God. I was a youth pastor, and we lived right here behind in these joint condominiums here. And I was at the house, and there's these big green lawns that separate areas, and there's these kids playing. I had a youth ministry in Rancho Santa Margarita called Club 316. And it was on Wednesdays. We'd get about 100, 150 kids, super active and engaging. It was an awesome time. God was moving. And I saw this group of like 12 kids. And then I'm sitting there looking out my window, and I see the kids, and then God's like, go talk to him, Greg. Invite him to Club 316. And I'm like, oh, it's too far. You know, that's Laguna Hills, RSM. How are they gonna get there, you know? And I know, and then no. As strongly as I can tell you, God was saying, go talk to them, Greg. And then I made another excuse, like, oh, who's this man's gonna come up and invite him? Hey, come to this event, the thing. And I had all these excuses, all these pre-qualifications, as I say, of why I didn't. And that day, I didn't listen to God. I didn't go. And there's times in my life where I've gone, and there's times that I haven't. But I tell you what, I wanna be a man. I want this church to be a place where we step in to those areas that we feel uncomfortable and don't pre-qualify. Stop pre-qualifying the answer and using that as an excuse to stop you from sharing God's word, from inviting people. And then has your wife or somebody close to you ever said, what's gotten into you? What's gotten into you? Sometimes bad things can get into us and are like, what's gotten into you? And other times, your people who know you, some good things are happening in your life and something has changed in you and they're like, what's gotten into you? You know, like the answer I get whenever I see somebody from high school, you know, you're a pastor now? Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, I know, I said, I know. Jesus, thank God for Jesus. That's me. So what's gotten, it reminds me of a story, or it reminds me of the volcano in 1883. It's the largest explosion ever to happen in modern times. It's called Krakatoa. It's in the Indonesian, Indonesian island. What a great name, huh? Krakatoa. But it was the largest explosion in modern times in 1883. It was 150 times more powerful than the atom bomb. The explosion was heard over a third of the Earth's surface, or heard. They said it sounded like cannon fire going off. Ash rose 50 miles into the air. The atmospheric shock waves recorded by barographs worldwide circled the Earth 3.5 times. It was a massive blast zone. It created 3 different tsunamis that were 100 feet high and more. Can you imagine that? Killed 36,000 people in the surrounding land when it hit. It was a powerful, but something got in Krakatoa. It didn't just have one massive explosion. It was a series of 4, and the third one was the largest. What happened on the first and second one is that they exploded, and water got into the chamber, and then it created an instant seal, and pressure started to build up. And then on that third day, it built up so much, the largest explosion happened, and all the things I just told you about took place. And it was just a massive explosion. Something got in to Krakatoa. and it caused it to do something powerful. And I want the Holy Spirit to get into us like that. We are still feeling the shockwaves of what took place in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the shockwaves of what took place at Pentecost. And what happens when ordinary people are activated by the Spirit? The Holy Spirit activated in us helps those around us in spiritual captivity be free. There's a great quote from Curry Blake, and it says this: if your gospel isn't touching others, it hasn't touched you. Man, that's a convicting quote. We talk about what we're passionate about. What is our blast zone for God? What is our blast zone for Krakatoa? Had a massive blast. What is our blast zone for God? Is the Holy Spirit working through us, causing shockwaves? God could have used anything else on this earth to deliver his message, but he chose us, frail, broken humanity, to deliver his message. And I want to just highlight four things that the Holy Spirit does through you when you are activated. And here's what happens. One, he helps us to relieve pain to those around us. He helps us to reduce loads. He helps us to raise spirits. And he helps us to reach souls. And really quickly, as I wrap, I want to just go over these. Relieve pain. He helps us to relieve pain. The Holy Spirit is referred to as a helper. There are people in your sphere that are in pain, not just physically, but also emotionally. And God has called you to help them. And we do that by, we help relieve pain by helping people feel secure. And we do that by including them. Inclusion is one way we help them to feel secure. As God has adopted and accepted you and his sons, he also, as sons and daughters, we need to be inclusive of everybody. Those we agree with and those we don't agree with. We need to be inclusive of everyone. People, God said yes to us, and God died on the cross while we were yet sinners. God loves us, and we need to be inclusive. We need to provide protection. We need to help defend those who can't defend themselves. We need to help the vulnerable. That's how we can relieve pain. We need to provide provision. We need to provide for need and action with our time and our talent and our treasure. And we need to provide direction. We need to speak truth and honest to lead people out of their anxiety. We relieve pain, number one, but two, we also reduce loads. We make things lighter. Matthew, it says this: come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. We need to come among people and help us reduce their loads, make lighter, sharing God's love with them, using our gifts to help them. And we do that by our presence. We do that to come alongside and provide what's missing in their life. We do that by praying for them, and we do that by providing insight. We relieve pain, we reduce loads, and also we raise spirits. We make, with the power of the Holy Spirit, we make people feel hopeful. We provide encouragement. There is a lack of encouragement. People are walking around with a lack of encouragement, amen? There's a lot, we have a lot of negative voices in, especially our own voice, that we need encouragement. We need to be people of encouragement. We need to be believers in community, like these small groups that are happening. If you've not signed up, go outside after the service, sign up for a community group. Get in community with others. That's where God moves. And our spirits are raised when we're together. At the end of Acts, we read about all the wonders that happened and them taking care of each other's needs, and the spirit of people were in awe, and people were getting saved. All the things that happen when we come together, and don't stop meeting together. Come together, join a community group, and God has gifted each of us in different ways. Each of us has a different gift. My gift is different than your gift, and God's gonna use that. And so we relieve pain, we reduce loads, we raise spirits, and we reach souls. We need to make Christ known. Responsibility to persuade others to consider Christ. We have a responsibility to persuade others to consider Christ. God has called us to do that. And we need to invite people. If we're not comfortable speaking and sharing the gospel, God hasn't equipped us yet. It's okay, step out. Watch what the Holy Spirit does in you when you try to do it. But just invite people then. Share people your testimony. The easiest way that you can share what God's doing in your life is by your testimony, just like me at that school. Just like Peter, who denied Jesus three times, but yet stood up with boldness in the Holy Spirit. It happened. Don't pre-qualify what's going on. Like Peter, we need to draw attention away from ourselves, point people to Christ, give credit to God, clearly address others' actions, clearly state the gospel, leave no wiggle room at all. I want Crossline to be a place where we are known for relieving pain, reducing loads, raising spirits, and reaching souls. And it all starts with prayer. Pray that God would give you opportunities, divine appointments to share God's love and the power of the Holy Spirit. And my last verse for you before we go, it's this. Colossians 4:2-6. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Remember, those of us who have said yes to Jesus, we are all starters on God's A-team. We don't have to wait for someone else to make a play. And as a coach, that was the one thing I said with younger players. Stop standing there and waiting for someone else to make the play. You're on the field, go make the play. It was constantly talked about. They would watch others make the play when they're there to make it. God has put you there. God has saved you. God has called you, and God will activate you with the Holy Spirit and equip you to do things that you never thought possible. Those things that I share with you, not because I'm any big deal. I'm a wretched man that God called out and brought me to salvation, and I am anything because of what Christ did. God will activate you with the Holy Spirit and equip you to do things you never thought possible. I never thought I'd be standing here before you this morning, sharing out of God's word. As a Christian, you have been activated for action. Pray for divine appointments, step out of your comfort zone, and watch what the Lord will do in and through you in the power of the Holy Spirit. Take a risk this week, pray for it. I don't know what it will be. It may seem crazy, but step into it and leave the results with God. God is calling your name. It's time to get in the game. Now I wanna close in a prayer that all of us, I would like to repeat this prayer out loud, and it's gonna be on your screen. Let's read it together. Holy Spirit, I want to join your process in people's lives. Help me to be an agent of your power, an ambassador, a humble instrument to share with others my hope in you through the gospel. Give me your glasses to see people the way you see them. Precious ones needing to know and experience God's love. Lost ones needing to find their refuge in their Maker and Savior. Lonely ones who need to find hope again through having their past forgiven and purpose for living. Deceived ones who need to experience the truth, freedom, and healing of your work deep within. Use me. Open my heart. Open my emotions. Open my palms. Open my lips. Until I die, and in Jesus' name, I ask all of this. Amen. Amen. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it blesses and fills us. Lord God, fill Crossline Church. Help us to be warriors, boldly fighting for you, Lord God. Lord, use us. Lord, give us appointments this week, Lord. Divine appointments that we can step into. God, we love you. We worship you. Lord, we want to be activated for you. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.